Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Friday. Or as I like to say, Fri-yay. December 7th, 2018. Can you believe that the weekend is already near? Unreal, right? This week has just flown by, at least in my view. And we plan on ushering you all into the weekend that will be with a bang. With an hour of sports talk here on WKAR's Current Sports that is sure to entertain. We'll briefly touch on tonight's Michigan State College Cup match. Damon Rensing and the Michigan State men's soccer team trying to make history. This is a program that goes to the College Cup, which is, again, essentially the Final Four, to compare it to men's college basketball. The Final Four in the world of college soccer, the first time Michigan State has done this in more than 50 years. And when they did do it back in the 60s, they went all the way and won the national championship. So Michigan State is out in California. I've actually seen on social media that they are enjoying that weather. I mean, it's beautiful on that side of the nation. They actually went to the beach yesterday. I mean, you see palm trees swaying in the wind. A bit jealous, without a doubt. But it's all about focusing now on the task at hand, and that is to beat the Akron Zips. So we wish Damon Rensing luck as they will try to do that tonight. And again, we'll preview it in just a moment. We'll also briefly touch on Michigan State men's basketball as Tom Izzo's team takes a break from conference play to go down to Florida. Talk about great weather, right? Michigan State men's basketball going down to Florida, Gainesville, for a noon tip-off against the Florida Gators. You can catch that one on CBS. We'll give you a few things to watch for in that matchup. We'll also put a lid on the whole Vernon Carey situation. I really hope that some of you guys have seen therapy and are slowly but surely getting over what happened yesterday afternoon as Vernon Carey broke the hearts of many Spartan fans out there. No, not choosing to come here in East Lansing to play for Tom Izzo, but taking his talents to the Duke Blue Devils. I tell you, Tom Izzo and Duke, just that's Tom Izzo's kryptonite, man. And Coach K is just dominant in the world of college hoops right now when it comes to recruiting, at least. So we'll put a lid on that conversation. I think right now Spartan fans are getting over it from what I've seen on social media, trying to turn the page and look forward to see now what Isaiah Stewart will do. Also, Duke is in the running for Stewart as well. Stewart, another highly touted high school recruit. And I haven't heard much about, you know, Carey reaching out or Carey and Stewart as far as communication goes and them talking about playing with one another. But then I saw on the rumor mill last night that the two have talked about playing with one another. Who knows what Isaiah Stewart will do? But Spartan fans are crossing their fingers right now, hoping that they do land him. So we'll briefly touch on that. We'll also, as promised on yesterday's Current Sports, provide you with the top NFL teams today. You'll get my take on that, and we'll see if you agree or disagree with it, okay? And I'm going to just briefly touch on the Detroit Lions. They play the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, just a battle of two really bad teams. And I think many of you out there, Lions fans out there, will be rooting against your own team, as you should, because this is a meaningless game. I mean, you're not going to the NFL playoffs. That dream is said and done now. And I think right now the goal would be to try and put yourself in a great position for a top draft pick come next spring. So, yeah, we'll briefly touch on the Detroit Lions. I won't be watching the Cardinals and Lions. That's just I got better things to do. I mean, I'll catch the highlights, but I'm not watching that game. Just being all the way 100 with you. And it is Friday. And each and every Friday, we welcome the training founder of Blessed Body Training. We've got Fit Fridays with Johnny Lewis, who will be joining us around the 140 mark to help close out the show just prior to Reflection Friday. So a lot to get to, a lot we are going to try and touch on. Call in to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream. And you can weigh in on Twitter, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the College Cup. Michigan State men's soccer playing that College Cup game with Akron tonight for a chance to play in Sunday's national championship. Every year since 2009, the Spartans and the Zips have played each other in the regular season. Akron leads the series since then, going 6-3-1, including a 2-1 win over Michigan State in East Lansing in early October 9th, to be exact. So we'll see what happens tonight as the Spartans try and make history. We'll have more on that in just a moment here on Current Sports. All right. Also, the Spartans picked up a major individual honor ahead of the College Cup as junior midfielder Giuseppe Baroni was named a first-team All-American by Soccer America earlier today. The Granville, Michigan native has picked up 3 goals and 10 assists this year and is the catalyst for MSU's offense. Again, kickoff tonight, 8 p.m., and you can catch that one on ESPNU. All right, as we highlighted throughout much of the hour on yesterday's show, Vernon Carey has decided to take his basketball talents to Duke, joining Coach K's program. Now, Michigan State men's basketball coach Tom Izzo was absolutely relentless in his pursuit of the 5-star big man, battling Coach K for the nation's number 2 high school prospect. Yesterday afternoon, those efforts were not rewarded. Carey, 6'10", 260 pounds, a senior at Fort Lauderdale's university school. He verbally committed to the Blue Devils during a nationally televised event at his school, giving Coach K another high-profile talent, leaving a gap in MSU's 2019 recruiting class. Carey said moments after the announcement, quote, "It was mainly between MSU and Duke. I just feel like Duke was the best fit for me, the way they would use me over Michigan State." Number 10 MSU takes on Florida on the road tomorrow at 12 noon. The game can be seen on CBS. But I think that's a direct kind of like mini jab to Tom Izzo and his coaching style, if you ask me. I mean, when you read that quote, you know, "I feel like Duke was the best fit for me, the way they would use me over Michigan State." I think that and reading into that this morning, you know, Vernon has said that, you know, he doesn't want to be tied down to one position. Vernon Carey wants to be able to play multiple positions. The one. I kid you not, at 6'10", 260 pounds. Now, maybe he was joking with this quote, but Vernon said he could see himself running point guard sometimes. Now, in Tom Izzo's system, I'm sorry, that's just not happening. Coach K, a little more lenient, you know, as I highlighted throughout this week, Coach K's system has changed. His coaching style has changed over the year and allowed the stars to be stars, if you will. So I get it, you know, not surprising. And I hope Spartan fans
are getting over this. Well, we'll see what Isaiah, man, if Isaiah Stewart ends up going to Duke as well. You talk about heartbreak. Oh, my goodness. We'll revisit that later on this hour. But that's what Carey had to say after his announcement yesterday. This is really cool. Saw the footage of this yesterday evening and many of Susie Merchant's former players congratulating her on this honor. But Susie Merchant, the MSU women's basketball coach, she received the Athena Award last night. The Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce honored Merchant at a luncheon yesterday at the Kellogg Center. The Athena Award for Leadership is handed to a community member who inspires excellence. Merchant's team is currently 7-1 and is headed for a big matchup on Sunday as MSU will host number 3 Oregon. Tip-off scheduled for 3 p.m. at the Breslin Center. You can catch that one on ESPN2. But Merchant, again, she's a staple here in the community. Really cool to see her get that honor, and many people giving her a shout out last night. And also the master of ceremonies for that that honor for Merchant last night was Sherry Jones from Channel 6 News. So I want to give my dear friend Sherry a big shout out as well, holding that down last night. All right, Michigan State hockey's next test will be against Wisconsin, which will likely present MSU with a different obstacle as the Badgers' two leaders in points, Keandre Miller and Wyatt Kalichnuk, are both defensemen. Wisconsin's leading goal scorer is sophomore forward Sean Doge with 7, and Kalichnuk is right behind him with 6. Both games this weekend can be heard on the Spartan Sports Network, and Saturday's game can be seen on Fox Sports Detroit Plus. Puck drop set for 8 p.m. on both nights. Also, the Detroit Red Wings feasted on a backup goaltender to build a cushy lead on one of the top teams in the National Hockey League. They still needed to go to overtime to close, but Dylan Larkin took care of that, scoring 5. What does that say in the script? 5-hole to score a 5-4 lead against the Maple Leafs. Is that like a hockey term? 5-hole? What the heck does 5? Why? See, let me put. I'm gonna pause right now, guys. You know I'm not a hockey fan. Why in the world would you put that in my script to read?
How do you not know what scoring through the 5-hole is?
How many times have we had
between
about you,
the
Jack?
Legs? That's
Jack,
all it is.
How many times that we had this conversation? Who in the world? I guarantee if you had a poll right now about people who don't even watch hockey, right? I'm like Chance the Rapper from the SNL skit, okay? We don't know nothing. I'm a brother.
You
don't know about the 5-hole in hockey.
So you know, I guess you just never played. Is it not a big thing in the black community to play mini sticks in your basement?
Exactly. You know this, Jack. We brothers don't play hockey. We don't. 5-hole? What? I thought that was an error in the script just now. Man.
Don't feel bad.
You see what I got to deal with, folks?
I don't know what it is either.
Thank you, Connor.
Don't feel bad.
Oh, my God. 5-hole? I really thought that was an error. I had to pause what I was reading. Okay. Anyway, Wings going to win over the Maple Leafs last night. 4-1 lead heading into the third period. They will host the New York Islanders tomorrow night at 7 p.m. 5-hole. I'm still stuck on that, dude. I am still stuck on 5-hole. Makes no sense.
The closest thing I would say is like nutmeg, but that's like more soccer and occasionally basketball or between. That's the only thing I would know.
Dude, I'm just mad that Jack and Alec, for that matter, the two hockey experts on the show, would put that in my script, knowing I was going. You guys set me up for failure. Was that like a late April Fool's joke?
Is that Jack Lopes 2.0 there?
Yeah, exactly. It was. It really was. 5-hole. All right. The Pistons. Something I know. The Detroit Pistons and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Pistons welcome the 76ers to town tonight. Philly's Joel Embiid will sit out tonight to avoid more sparring with Detroit's Andre Drummond. The Pistons are coming off a heavy loss in Milwaukee the other night. Currently sit at fourth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Tip time from Little Caesars Arena, 7 p.m. You can catch that one on, I didn't even know this was nationally televised, on ESPN, or you can catch the local broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit. So I'll be tuned into that one tonight. Not hockey. All right, the 4-8 Detroit Lions face off against the 3-9 Arizona Cardinals. Who in their right mind will watch this game? Connor, I know, all you guys back behind the glass, you guys are Detroit Lions fans. Are you guys really going to watch this? the Lions and Cardinals? Is that how you're going to waste your Sunday afternoon? Please tell me you're not.
The consensus that we got back here before the show is that everyone wants them to lose so that they can get a better draft pick and get a pass rush.
But you're still going to waste your time and watch this.
I don't know about that. Ask
please,
the Lions
Jack,
fans.
Please tell me. Come on, dude. Go call up a hot date, you know, or go work out or something else, man. Don't waste your time on Sunday.
I might have to work out, and I mean, I am going to have a review session for a final from 1 to
right.
3. But Al, I don't talk to girls. Get out of here.
You know, come on, man. I thought you
were a joke. Okay, that's a joke. No, but you know what? At this point, I would sell my soul for Nick Bosa as a pass rusher. So
okay, yeah, they got a tank, right? If you do watch it, you'll be rooting against the Lions, even if you don't watch it. But yeah, take a date, though, man. I know you're a ladies' man, Jack. Come on now. You're being modest. Alec, please tell me you're not watching this game on Sunday, dude. Please.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff. I'm just super busy. There's just a lot of other things I got to do before watching this Lions game.
I know you got a hot date. Just take a date to somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Anywhere but Ford Field.
Check out Creed 2. All right. Creed 2, amazing movie. I think I should be getting paid by Warner Brothers.
They're playing a game on Sunday?
See, Kyle Turk behind it. You feel me, Kyle. I mean, come on, dude. Why would you waste it? Lions and Cardinals?
Especially the Cardinals, too.
Oh, boy. The Cards, fresh off and up. I'm not even going to finish this headliner. Lions, Cardinals, 4:25 p.m. on Sunday. I'm not going to waste my time. All right. That does it for your Quick Hit Headliners. Call in to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's keep it moving. Happy Friday to you all. It is December 7th, 2018. Happy holidays as we also inch closer and closer to Christmas. And pretty soon we will be turning the page on 2018 and saying hello to 2019 right around the corner. Happy holidays to you all. I really hope you guys have been shopping and getting it done early. I am notorious for waiting until the last minute to Christmas shop. I kid you not, like, I remember 3 years ago, I actually went shopping on Christmas Eve and got all my shopping done on Christmas Eve. Crazy, right? I'm not going to do that this year. I plan on at least blocking out a few hours this weekend to do some Christmas shopping. So don't be like last minute. Don't be a last minute shopper like I have been these last few years, all right? I'm learning my lesson without a doubt. All right, a lot to get to on today's current sports. First off, Spartan fans, I hope you have seen a therapist. I hope that you have at least talked to somebody if you were up in arms about what happened yesterday afternoon as Vernon Carey broke green and white hearts from here to Pluto with his decision to take his basketball talents to the Duke Blue Devils. We kind of saw this. I mean, even though Vernon Carey, you know, he did come to Michigan State multiple times, and he really loved the program. And looking at the reports, you know, Vernon Carey did not know where he was leaning, I should say, until, you know, that morning. So Wednesday night, you know, he Coach K and Tom Izzo really didn't know whether or not they were going to land Vernon Carey, and it was a really close race. But in the end, it's Duke and Coach K that best Tom Izzo and the Spartans yet again. And, you know, I read that quote in our headliners as, you know, Carey, when he was made president for an interview afterwards, he said that Duke was the better fit, and he liked the way that Duke would use him over Michigan State. You know, as I just stated, I think that is that's kind of a small jab at the kind of structure that Tom Izzo runs at Michigan State. Vernon Carey believes that at Duke, probably would be a better fit for him because of the freedom of play that he would have. Because Carey has gone on the record to say that he wants to play multiple positions. That won't be happening at Michigan State University. So that weighed in a little bit, but you know, it was close, folks. You know, I think some look at this story and say it was all Duke all the way. You know, according to Carey and also Carey's father, Vernon Carey Sr., you know, it was paper thin. Could have went either way. So at the end of the day, Carey will go and rock the blue and white jersey. Spartan fans, get over it. It's not the end of the world. Michigan State is still one of the blue bloods in college basketball. And no matter how you feel, I feel like these feelings are amplified based on what happened back in March against Syracuse. And in recent history, Tom Izzo, you know, not able to get over that hill, not able to get out that first weekend of the NCAA tourney. No matter how you feel, this is still one of the premier basketball programs in all of college basketball. And Tom Izzo is a Hall of Fame basketball coach. So the world is not coming to an end. Okay. Again, just a quick shout out to Damon Rensing and the Michigan State men's soccer program. You know, it's really quite special, and I think it needs to get more pub than it is. It's really quite special what we are witnessing right now with Damon Rensing and this team. You know, Michigan State being one of three Big Ten teams to reach the College Cup. I mean, first off, just putting that in perspective, it just speaks to just how good the Big Ten Conference is in college soccer. I mean, right now, if you look at that, you know, Michigan State being one of three Big Ten teams left in the College Cup, I mean, you can make an argument to say that the Big Ten is the best conference and the most difficult conference to win in all of college soccer. And the fact that Michigan State is one of three still standing in the NCAA tourney, that is something special. So tonight at 8 p.m. at Harder Stadium out in Cali, you know, Michigan State will try and go to the national championship. You know, that come from behind win over James Madison, a 2-1 win in the Elite Eight. That's what booked the ticket for Michigan State to go to the West Coast and keep this remarkable year going. So I just want to give a big shout out to Damon Rensing, and I hope many of you Spartan fans will be watching tonight, ESPNU, as history could be made. Okay. I also want to touch on the Michigan State men's basketball game against Florida tomorrow. You know, because we really hadn't gotten a chance to elaborate on the game that Michigan State men's hoops had earlier this week. You know, Michigan State men's basketball right now, I think they really sent a statement earlier this week with that win over Iowa, because I think Iowa is a pretty solid team in not just the Big Ten Conference, but the nation. It was an affair that was really close at first, and then Michigan State just kind of slowly pulled away in that second half. And Nick Ward going 10 for 10. You talk about a response. You know, I don't know if you heard my rant last week about where he's been, you know, because he kind of went ghost against Texas in the Las Vegas Invitational and then the Louisville game. You know, didn't see him really at all in that game. You know, then he responds with that kind of a performance. You know, 10 for 10, a career-high 26 points as Michigan State goes on to cruise to a 90-68 win over then number 18 Iowa. It's remarkable. And, you know, the question I want to ask all of our listeners out there, you know, I feel like we entered this MSU men's basketball year, which is still in the early, early stages of the season. You know, we entered this year, though, with kind of a lot of question marks as far as expectations were concerned. You know, we all knew that Michigan State was going to be competitive and solid, one of the best teams in the Big Ten Conference. But as far as expectations go, you know, really hard. Because I feel like there is a slight home hangover effect from what happened back in March against Syracuse. I mean, when you lose two NBA draft lottery picks, you know, that's tough. And Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr. And, oh, by the way, if you have not watched either one of those two players in the NBA, they are crushing it right now. And I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be in the discussion of the NBA's Rookie of the Year. He is playing remarkable right now. Also, I got some pictures yesterday from a few of my frat brothers letting me know that both Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges are on the cover of the East Bay magazine, which is one of the like top kick magazines out there, kicks being shoes for my seasoned listeners out there. I didn't know East Bay was still a thing. Connor, you ever heard of East Bay, dude?
Yeah, occasionally I see like a hat or something on them that I look into, but I mean, not they're not as big.
Yeah, I know when I was, you know, in high school, you know, actually a lot of teams in high school hoops and AAU teams, they order from that catalog, but I didn't even know they still existed. I was pretty shocked to see that. But Jaren and Miles are both on the cover of this month's magazine, I guess, but they are tearing it up. So, but back to my point, when you lose a Jaren Jackson Jr. and a Miles Bridges, I mean, I don't know how you can get better the following year unless you got some dogs coming in. But, you know, when you look at the three juniors in Cassius Winston, in Nick Ward, and Joshua Langford, and how they're holding down the fort so far this season, and they are going to have to continue to do that as the year moves along, it's quite impressive. But with the way that game started on Monday night, I didn't think that Michigan State was going to cruise to a blowout. And I think it speaks volumes to the kind of resiliency that this team has, because Michigan State, you know, in the games we've seen so far this year, even when they're down, what really stands out to me is just how poised they are. You know, this is a team that no matter what, it doesn't matter what the score is, they don't panic. And that is a feeling that is led by Ward, Langford, and Winston. I mean, and heck, at one point this season, I remember when Michigan State, you know, was down, you know, Joshua Langford, you know, Izzo's going off in the huddle, and Joshua Langford just says, "Hey, coach, chill out." You know what I mean? There's this calming effect that Winston, Langford, and Ward, they bring to this team. And pretty much the story against Iowa was just how much Michigan State dominated down low. I mean, Iowa had really no answer for the big men of Michigan State. And redshirt senior Kenny Goins, you know, he scored a career-high 19 points. He also had 14 rebounds, and he handed out 7 assists. I mean, a double-double for him, you know, 7 assists away. Well, excuse me, 3 assists away from a triple-double. I mean, that's remarkable. And a lot of people forget, Kenny Goins is a walk-on. This is a walk-on, folks, who is now starting with this team and giving you effort. Pretty amazing. Kenny Goins is a really great story for Michigan State hoops and just college basketball in general. And the fact that Nick Ward didn't miss a shot from the floor. Wow. That's amazing. You know, career high 26 points. And what Nick is showing, one, you know, Nick is in shape. You know, this is something that has been a knock on Nick Ward when he first entered Michigan State. He has worked hard in the gym and worked very hard on his conditioning to make sure that he does not get winded. And you know, we all knew his minutes were going to go up this year because of the absence of a Jaren Jackson and a Miles Bridges, and he's handled it very well. You know, Nick Ward is coming in and being effective after, again, going ghost recon the 2 games prior. But what we saw, you know, him going perfect from the floor, that was special. It really was. And Iowa had no answer. And then you also bring in Xavier Tillman, the sophomore forward from Grand Rapids. He had also a career-high 14 points. So you had a career-high from Kenny Goins, Nick Ward, and Xavier Tillman. Xavier also chipping in with 8 rebounds and a career-best 4 blocks. That's special. And the big question mark now is whether or not Michigan State men's basketball can duplicate that kind of effort. So, you know, right now when looking at the year, Michigan State has a pair of wins over ranked teams this season. A win over then number 17 UCLA. That was an 87-67 final at the Las Vegas Invitational. Right now through nine games, Josh Langford leads the team in scoring. He has been a pleasant surprise as well because we've all been waiting on the coming out party, I should say, of Josh Langford. Langford is averaging 17 points per game, adding three rebounds and two assists. And Cassius Winston is second on the team, averaging 16.8 points per game, leads the team in assists, of course, averaging almost eight assists per game. 7.7 to be exact. That is good for fifth in the country in assists per game. It's remarkable watching Cassius Winston run the Michigan State men's basketball offense. Now, you know, Michigan State plays a Florida team, you know, that I don't even know, is Florida even ranked? I don't even think Florida is even ranked right now. And, you know, I have not looked at the early line for Michigan State in this matchup, but certainly Michigan State is going to be favored in this game. They are favored in this game. So you play a Florida team that you should beat. You know, this is a game that will be on national television. Again, you can catch this one on CBS. It will be a noon tip time tomorrow. The Gators are 5-3, 3-0 at home. Not ranked again, unranked. And I think this would be a great game for Michigan State to continue to build that confidence coming off a big conference win over the Iowa Hawkeyes. But I just like what I'm seeing right now from Michigan State men's basketball. I feel like this team is gelling, and, you know, we'll see. It's all about consistency at the end of the day when it comes to success in the college ranks. You know, in the pros, you know, you can take a few nights off because you play so many games. You know, in the NBA, you got 82 games. So, you know, a lot of people are texting me like, oh, Al, your Pistons are on a slump right now. I'm like, dude, they play 82 games. They come off a five-game win streak, one of those games being over the Golden State Warriors, and now they're on a two-game losing streak, and people are down on the Detroit Pistons. I'm like, dude, chill. You know, consistency is only big in the NBA at the very start to put yourself in position. You know, you don't want to be like dead last in the NBA and trying to rally mid-year to try and make the playoffs. And also near the end of the season, because now you're vying for playoff position. Hopefully you are in that position to vie for a playoff position and you want some momentum going into the playoffs. But, you know, you don't have to be as consistent in the NBA in comparison to college basketball, because in college basketball you play significantly fewer games, and we all know about the tournament. I feel like the tournament is all about momentum. So consistency is huge. Can Michigan State keep this up? Can Cassius Winston continue to feed to basketball? Can Joshua Langford continue his aggressiveness? Nick Ward can't go ghost. Can he dominate down low and guard some of the premier big men that we see in college hoops today? We'll see. And this is a great game coming off a win against Iowa, against Florida, a great opportunity for Michigan State to continue to build that momentum. All right, what I want to do right now is hit our first break. When we come back, I want to dive into the National Football League and just take kind of a wide-eyed look at the NFL right now. And I will give you my top NFL teams as of right now here on December 7th, 2018. And we'll compare notes and see if you agree. All right? You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Little Outkast for you on this Friday. That's one of my favorite albums, by the way. Was listening to that track actually when I was working out. Shout out to Outkast, Andre 3000 and Big Boy. Happy Friday to you all, December 7th, 2018. I'm kind of fanboying. I have been fanboying since this morning as the new Avengers trailer has just dropped. Avengers 4 Endgame comes out next year, I believe, like spring of 2019. Connor, have you seen this? Have you seen this trailer, dude, at all?
I have not. I've got to see it after the show.
It's amazing. We all know what happened in Infinity War, right? You've seen Infinity War, the end of Infinity War, and I don't want to give anything away. I don't want to say anything right now if anybody has seen it. But man, it's Marvel, and it's Avengers, so it looks to be awesome. So, yeah. Also, the College Football Awards were yesterday. I do want to mention those. These are kind of like the pre-awards before the big one, right? The Heisman Trophy. And I think, man, it's going to come down to Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa. And if I had a vote, I'd probably be giving it to Tua. I think it's close, though. And shout out to Dwayne Haskins as well, because I think Dwayne, wow, what a year he had for Ohio State, right? I mean, he had video game numbers as well. And, you know, that offense, arguably the best offense, it's probably the best offense Urban Meyer's ever had, maybe. And Dwayne running things at the quarterback position the way he did, he's got an arm, my goodness. But I think it comes down to Tua and Murray. And I would give it to Tua. Is that where your vote would be going, Connor, or no?
I think it's going to be Tua. I really like watching Kyler, though. I think Kyler's more enjoyable to watch.
You think so?
I think Kyler.
They're both fun.
I went to the Oklahoma West Virginia game, and Kyler is absurd. Like, it's just crazy what he can do. Tua is probably the more sound traditional quarterback. That's why I think he's going to win it. But just from watching both of them, Kyler's so much more fun to watch.
And when you compare the numbers, the thing about Tua is a lot of people forget. I mean, Tua, I mean, there were multiple games this year where Tua just sat out the fourth quarter because it was such a big blowout and he had done so much work in those first three quarters. I mean, heck, there were some games he didn't even play it, you know, after halftime. Because the lead was so far up, you know, Alabama was blowing out whoever they were playing that respective Saturday. If they didn't need him in the second half, his numbers could be even better. That's what amazed me about Tua. Real quick, let's go to line one. We do have Dave from Wyoming that has been waiting oh so patiently. He wants to weigh in on the whole Vernon Carey to Duke, not MSU conversation. Dave, you are on Current Sports. Happy Friday.
Hey, well, thank you, Al. Actually, I hit three things. One, unfortunately, I guess I've become a cynic. And until a kid signs that national letter of intent, I'm really not paying attention too much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that they were recruiting a kid from Florida where they've never done very well before. I mean, the Spartans. And getting a kid who was born and raised in the Fort Lauderdale area to come up to East Lansing for one winter is still a hard sell at the end of the day. And, you know, both Duke and North Carolina are still, quote, basketball schools. Michigan State is too, but it gets some competition from football. And Coach K does have that built-in advantage of Olympic team coaching and being able to casually bring up LeBron James, other NBA All-Stars he's coached. And that's still a big advantage for that. Regarding the Heisman real quick, I would not vote for Tua this year. Oddly enough, I think one, the way Alabama came back and won last year after he came on and replaced Hurts, and then this year Hurts came on in the second half and pulled Alabama's fat out of the fire in the SEC game. I think that sort of calls out a system, rightly or wrongly. And Kyler Murray is also a senior, so I think that helps from that end, just my opinion. And the last thing about the best teams in the NFL, I tell you what, right now the NFC North is like the tallest midget contest as far as I'm concerned. Not really, Chicago's lost their quarterback and everybody else is sort of wavering in the breeze.
Mm.
New England, Dallas is coming on strong. Dallas lost early. They seem to be playing a lot better right now, which
How about them Cowboys, baby? Yeah.
And also, the Texans are doing well. The Rams, I shouldn't say the Rams, whatever that L.A. team is out there. and I think that, those those three or four, those are about the cream of the crop. And I can't really discern a hell of a lot of, excuse my language, a lot of difference between the rest of the pack. I mean, Kansas City is there, but boy, one good hit and their quarterback goes away, and that could be said about any NFL team. But
and Kareem Hunt is now gone too. Yeah,
they are sure. Kansas City and LA are both real quarterback centric with young quarterbacks, and if something happens there, it all goes away. Thanks.
All right. Dave from Wyoming weighing in on multiple topics there. And so his vote would go to Kyler Murray. I mean, you can go either way. I'm just saying, I think when you look at, you know, what Tua has done this year and the way how dominant Alabama has been, much of that having to do with his play, I'll probably go Tua. But you can make an argument for both. I mean, heck, you can make an argument for Haskins as well. I don't think, you know, a lot of people are just forgetting about Dwayne Haskins in this debate, but I think there's an argument that can be made for him as well. Okay, real quick, because we're coming up on less than 20 minutes here, and I'm curious to know, I don't know if you have a list at all, but I'll just give you my list, and I'll see, Connor, if you agree with it at all when it comes to certain points here. I'll give you my top 10 NFL teams right here before we do welcome Johnny Lewis of Blessed Body Training for our weekly Fit Friday segment. So, number 10, I'm going with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh right now sitting at 7-4-1. Now, I know they haven't been really convincing these last couple of weeks, Connor. They really, you know, suffered their worst regular season meltdown in decades on Sunday. But, you know, I think, and also you look at the game against Jacksonville, I think they should have lost that one to the Jaguars too. But right now, I think Pittsburgh, you know, is still a team that you are going to have to deal with. They play. I think they'll finish out the year 2-2. They play the Raiders. That's a win this Sunday. Then they play the Patriots. I think that's a loss, even though I think they'd be very competitive. Saints loss, and they'll finish out the regular season against Cincinnati with a win, I believe. But I just think that a lot of people are counting the Steelers out right now when you can't. I'm still putting them in my top 10. So number 10, I'm going Steelers. Number 9, I'm throwing in my Dallas Cowboys, who are surging right now, 7-5 on the year. The defense is clicking. Leighton Vander Esch, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jalen Smith, among others. The win against the Saints, that was huge. That was huge. And that's what really cracked the top 10 for me, just like many, I believe, who have Dallas in the top 10 at least. And the Cowboys will play the Philadelphia Eagles this week in a game that is basically the 2018 NFC East Championship. And Dallas is favorite in that game. I think my Cowboys will pull that out, hopefully. Knock on wood. 8, I'm going with Seattle. The Seahawks, 7-5. The Seahawks seemingly, you know, retooled and rebranded really on the fly as opposed to rebuilding. And, you know, Russell Wilson still gives you a chance to win no matter what. So I'm going with the Seahawks at 8. 7, the Chicago Bears. The Bears are basically locked in right now as the NFC's number 3 seed, you know, barring that they don't completely collapse this month here in December. And, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, I think he's been playing well this year, which is a big reason why the Bears are in this position right now, winning 8 games. So Bears 7-6, the Houston Texans at 9-3. You know, 9 straight wins have Houston in a pretty good position for the AFC's number 3 seed at the very least. And somewhat of a chance, possibly, for a first-round bye. I really like what Houston is doing, but 9 straight, one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. Number 5, the L.A. Chargers. 9-3, going with the Chargers. You know, these Chargers may be a bit different this year. You know, a win over the Steelers without Melvin Gordon shows that they could be a force to be reckoned with. You know, with the return of Joey Bosa having more of an impact each week, Derwin James continuing to push forward for the Defensive Rookie of the Year, I like the Chargers. For the Kansas City Chiefs, I do think the loss of Kareem Hunt is going to be pretty big for this team, but Patrick Mahomes gives you a chance to win on any given Sunday. The Chiefs at 10-2 are number 4 for me. Number 3, the New England Patriots, 9-3. The Patriots, they find a way. As the year goes on, they get better and better. This is what Bill Belichick does. This is what Tom Brady does. They got to be in your top three, I believe, right now. Number two, the New Orleans Saints at 10-2. You know, the Saints will have to win out and hope for an L.A. Rams loss if they are to take back the NFC's number one seed. And the loss in Dallas definitely hurt them in that argument. But, you know, and Drew Brees, a chance at his first NFL MVP award, which I think is a crime. The Saints, certainly a Super Bowl contender. And you already know, number one, they've been my pick all year. They've been the sexy pick all year to win the Super Bowl. The L.A. Rams at 11-1. Connor, what say you here? Do you have any problems with that list? And please don't come up my Cowboys, all right?
Too late. I did not have them in my top 10. If they beat the Eagles, I will be sold on them. Until they beat the Eagles, I cannot buy into the Cowboys.
Even after the win,
cannot do it.
Over
it was
the New Orleans Saints, which gave them control of the NFC East. No. You don't even at least put them at number 10?
No, they're my 11. I have the okay. Here's mine real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
The
go ahead.
Ravens at 10, Seahawks at 9, Steelers at 8, Bears 7, Texans at 6. So we agree there.
We agree there. Yeah.
Patriots at 5, Chargers at 4, Rams at 3. Saints at 2, Chiefs at 1.
You're going with the Chiefs at 1 over the Rams?
Yeah. The Rams.
What the Rams did to the Chiefs in that crazy entertaining game earlier this season, you're putting the Chiefs over the Rams.
Here's my thing.
Without Kareem Hunt.
Here's my thing. The Rams are good in every facet, but there have been a couple games where Jared Goff has put them in a tough position with either not his best performance or throwing an interception when he didn't need to throw an interception. So I think in come playoff time, I think another team can exploit the Jared Goff inconsistencies and beat the Rams. The Chiefs, I don't know if there's a defense in the AFC that can stop them. I don't know if there is.
I hear you. So even though they don't have a defense, you can score on the Chiefs.
They don't. No, you can score on the Chiefs.
But in today's NFL, you don't really need a high powered defense. No, changing, man.
You just need one that can make stops, and I don't see a defense in the AFC that can slow down the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, if you score 14, they're going to score 21. They're always going to find. I think they're always going to find a way. Now, if they get to a Super Bowl,
Kareem Hunt, not having him hurts them though.
That does hurt them. Yes,
it does. All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Friday edition of Current Sports with Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis.
Ready for the warm-up, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm-down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press,
a basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in.
But don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute ab, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
That's right, you got to earn it. And each and every Friday here on Current Sports, we try to do just that as we invite from the West Coast, Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. J. Lou, what's up, my man? Happy Friday again to you.
Happy Friday, Al.
Always good talking to you, dude. And I know, again, I always say this. I'm just going to stop. We're done talking about weather every time we bring you on because we all know it's so beautiful out in Arizona. I hope you've been well, my man. My brother from another mother.
Rain.
You said what, rain?
A couple of days ago. It was a few days ago, but it's always weird seeing rain here. It's like, whoa, I forgot it rained in Arizona because we go so long without seeing it. People actually like watching it, like standing outside and watching it, especially when it thunders. So it's a little bit different.
It is. And I'll take rain any day over snow, dude. We got a great Fit Fridays because – as we have you on each and every Friday, man, again, we give our listeners a tip that they can use in the gym, and also a tip that they can use in the kitchen, because they go hand in hand if you want to transform your life and start to live healthier. So we'll start with in the gym, J. Lou, and you want to talk about HIIT workouts, that acronym HIIT. What does that stand for? And I'll let you take it away, man.
Oh, yeah, HIIT workouts. It's the workout that the type of workouts that everybody loves to hate because it's pretty hard. It stands for high-intensity interval training. So basically, it's kind of like cardio in a way because you're burning fat. You're getting a good cardio workout. It's good for your heart. But it's a lot more intense, but shorter in duration.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So can you give me an example of a HIIT workout?
So a good example I always like to use, just because of, like, running. Running is a pretty standard workout that just about anybody can do. So say you're at a track, right? Instead of, like, running laps around the track consistently, you might run, like, 100 meters at a time, like, really fast. You know, instead of jogging around, you'll sprint 100 meters. Then you might walk 50 meters, then sprint 100 meters, then walk 50 meters. So it's basically just breaking up your workouts into, like, burst of high intense explosive energy, you know. So like a lot of workouts I like to do when I do HIIT training is like the traditional ones, like box jumps, burpees. I like kettlebell swings. That's been my favorite workout over the last couple of weeks. The battle ropes and tire flips. Like those are the things I do when I do HIIT workout training, but you can really do HIIT training with any kind of workout.
And what now? What's the difference between a HIIT training and also a cardio workout?
So the thing about cardio, they're both going to get the job done in terms of burning fat, and you know, they're both good for your heart. But cardio takes so long, so it might take an hour or an hour and a half to have the same effectiveness as a HIIT workout would have. Because HIIT workouts are usually like 30 minutes, so I think HIIT workouts are better if you don't have time to get like an hour, maybe 2 hours in the gym, because you're going to be, you know, you're going to be killing the workout. You're going to be explosive. You're going to burn all of those calories really fast. So
right.
I think it's good. The thing about HIIT workouts is it takes more for recovery. So you don't want to do HIIT workouts every day. I would say about like maybe 2 or 3 days out of the week, you know.
Gotcha. And I think it's important to note, you know, when we were discussing before we brought you on today, that please consult your doctor before you try a HIIT workout. Why is that, Johnny?
So you definitely want to always talk to your doctor first, especially if you have any pre-known health-related problems, because it's really high intensity. So sometimes, you know, it's not good for everybody. You have to really watch it because, you know, it's bumping up that heart rate. So,
right,
it's good to talk to a doctor, even if you are fit and healthy. You know, it's good to see your doctor and just, you know, bring up HIIT workouts. Your doctor would know what HIIT workouts are. So, yeah, that's just my advice, to consult a doctor before you start a HIIT workout program.
Because it's more intense than just your normal cardio, just hopping on a treadmill, as you talked about, Johnny, for like, you know, 40 minutes, right?
Right. You'll want to die in the middle of your workout. It's kind of like CrossFit in a way. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to a CrossFit gym, but they CrossFit gyms have a lot of HIIT workouts within their CrossFit program. So
gotcha.
It's really tough, but it's effective.
It definitely is, and I think this is maybe for our, like, our gym diehards, maybe. I don't know if, you know, if we got any listeners who are just starting off working out. I guess you can do it in moderation, right? Maybe just kind of ease into a HIIT workout. Maybe just do one and see if you like it, right?
Right, right. Yeah, you can definitely ease your way into it. Maybe do it, like, once a week to start off. You know, maybe for, like, 15 to 20 minutes, then maybe you could build your way up to 30 or 35 minutes. But, yes, yeah, it's intense. So, it's like, the breaks are short and the workouts are, you know, very intense. So, you know, try it out. Look up some HIIT workouts online. There's tons of them. I always say, look it up yourself, Google it. But no, use your resources. Use the internet, you know?
Exactly. Please do. All right, Johnny, to close out this thing, as we have just under, 3 minutes left here, I want you to weigh in on why it's important to, or just drinking your greens. Explain that.
Oh, yeah. Real quick. drink your greens. That's the message of today. We all know that, like, eating vegetables could be kind of bland sometimes. I mean, there's a few weirdos out there like me that like to eat broccoli every day. But, you know, for most of us, it's a lot easier to throw them in a smoothie or throw them in a juice if you have a juicer. One of my favorite green smoothies consists of kale and spinach. And I just load it, like, with kale and spinach as much as I can. Like, I fill it up with kale and spinach. Throw a banana in there, some pineapple, some almond milk, and maybe a little bit of protein powder. There you go.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I mean, this is why I need to get me a blender, man, because I see, you know, you on social media making all these different smoothies, and I'm like, man, that'll be real easy to just down something healthy just like that instead of just, you know, putting it on a plate and consuming it. I don't.
You got to get you a blender, man. I got to get it better with myself, honestly. I'm still using, like, I'm using a Ninja, which is okay, and I also have a Magic Bullet, but
right.
I want to get a Vitamix. Those are the really expensive blenders, but they are also, they get the job done. You won't have any chunks in your smoothies with that kind.
I like that. Okay. All right. Message for today again. Drink your greens. That is if you're not like me and you have a blender, okay? All right.
Right.
Again, you can follow Johnny Lewis on Twitter at blessed_body_. You can also follow him on Instagram as he always is posting different workouts and different tips there as well, at blessed_body. Fit Fridays with Johnny Lewis. Johnny, thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me. I'll be blessed.
You got it, brother. All right, to close out the week here on Current Sports, just a quick reflection on the week that has been. Again, I'm encouraging everybody out there, check out the MSU men's soccer team tonight in the College Cup against the Akron Zips. And, you know, man, I really didn't get a chance to win. There were two topics I really wanted to tackle this week. I'll try and fit them in sometime next week. But I really want to talk about Deontay Wilder and the Tyson Fury fight and why it was such a game changer in the sport of boxing. And yeah, that's what I really wanted to weigh in on. We'll do that next week, Monday, hopefully. But until then, we'll have a complete recap of the weekend that will be in the world of local sports and beyond. Until then, thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your Friday and a part of your week. Be easy, people.